Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. This is Rashid Talam, your engineer for tonight's show on Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our labs are designed to provide our listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. And this particular episode is going to be special. It'll be focusing on developing leadership skills in children. And our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share your parent experiences to the lab with us today. As I said before, this is a very special day and a very special time, and I would like to bring to you your host for tonight's show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to our IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed over 1,444 years ago, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, and producer, along with our beloved co-host and co-producer, and Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, who is not present with us on every first Wednesday of the month prior of the commitment. But never fear, Rashid Salam is here. And we want you to know tonight, especially those of you tuning in for the first time, that this, in fact, is your learning lab. And we do encourage you to ask questions and make comments on the information education that will be disseminated tonight. And you can do that by pressing 1. We're also aware that we have quite a few listeners by way of the Internet. For you to be a participant in tonight's learning lab, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. You call in, and Rashid Salam, who's also our engineer but also our special guest facilitator tonight, he will alert me that you have your hand in the air and you press 1. So that's the key, press 1. And you can press 1 at any time on this learning lab. And I want to say that this learning lab is a special learning lab tonight, as we will be dealing with the special topic, what every child, and I've also included, what every child and every parent needs to know about Dr. George Washington Carver. So we're going to give you an opportunity to get your pens and pad. We ask that you bring an open mind, an open heart to this learning lab. But bring your pen and pad so you can take down some noteworthy things, and you'll get an opportunity to ask questions or make comments in regard to this outstanding scientist and why he's so outstanding and what distinguishes him from the rest of the scientists. So while you're getting your pens and pad, just want to do a little housekeeping here. I want to say that the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is entering in terms of its sixth year on radio. It began with the sister station, AM 360 Radio, and it has been continued on here on IWDM Radio. Matter of fact, at the end of this month, it will be officially 6 years. It began in January of 2017. Yes, January 2017, that's how long this learning lab has been. We want you to know that there is a foundation for this learning lab, and that is Al-Quran, the final revelation to all of humanity, the life example of the prophet in the demonstration of living the Quran, and also the tafsir, meaning the clear explanation by our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. Those are the foundations, the sources that we use here on this learning lab. We also want to give you, as Imam Muhammad had instructed us, in definition is direction. In definition is direction. And I've also said correction. So we've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big, big responsibility, and we want to dismiss the misnomer, the misconception and perception that this is only the role and responsibility of the mother. It is both the responsibility of the mother and the father. And in the acronym family, it is father and mother inevitably loving you. So this is very, very important. And we also have established in this learning lab that it is a role and responsibility of both the father and the mother to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, their community. And then we say, inshallah, God willing, having that type of mindset and disposition and understanding our role and responsibility and our obligation responsibility to our children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is the first teacher for all of humanity, and he has given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, meaning that the baby will be given to her for the care first, and she will give the foundation not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And so with that being said, we're going to bypass having an overview from last week so that we can get into this very timely topic tonight, where all parents and children need to know about Dr. George Washington Carver. And so it gives me great pleasure and honor to have our brother, one of my best friends here in the STL, that's none other than Rashid Salam, will be our special guest facilitator. And I'll extend the greetings of peace to him. Assalamu alaikum, Rashid Salam.
Well, here, Salam, Brother Mark, how are you this evening?
Man, I'm always hyped up on Wednesday. I'm hyped up on Wednesday because this is the day that I know that the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is on the airways for IWDM Radio. And as Imam Muhammad said, our role and responsibility is to remake the world. And if we're going to ever be able to make an imprint in terms of doing that, we have to start with the first social unit in human society, and that's the sacred institution of family. And if we can get that right, then we can begin to start the remaking the world in terms of what it should be. So I'm hyped up tonight, Rashid Salam, and I'm really hyped up tonight about this topic that we have coined for a special edition of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. What every parent and child should know about Dr. George Washington Carver. And that's one of the reasons that we chose this, because I have promoted you as a walking encyclopedia of the life and the times of Dr. George Washington Carver and all that he made in terms of contribution. But, you know, I like to start this learning lab. And when I radio listen to noise, please have your pen and pad so you'll take down lots of notes coming from our special guest facilitator, Rashid Salam. You know, one of the things that really I like to start a conversation with and would want our radio listener to take notes that really struck me, and it really struck me about Dr. George Washington Carver that I think, Rashid, that really distinguished him from other scientists, that he had a conscious regardfulness of his Lord and Creator, that he acknowledged the Creator, and he acknowledged the creation in which he was given, and he had an inquiring mind. He was very inquisitive. I guess early on in his life, he actually had what I call natural curiosity to want to know, and he pursued that, and he gave the credit and the praise to the Creator. That's what really strikes me in distinguishing himself from other scientists. I haven't read or heard about any other scientists that acknowledge the Creator more so than Dr. George Washington Carver. So welcome to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My brother, you know, I'm excited and ignited. Okay. Anytime I have an opportunity to talk about this great humanitarian, this man of God, this one who prayed for everything he wanted, he didn't take any books into the laboratory. He said, when I was inspired, God would give me the information. Now, that's a level of understanding that, you know, that we're going to talk about today. It's particularly about how our children can be inspired, knowing that this man didn't read any books. I mean, he read books as he got older, but he went into the laboratory and created just on inspiration, just on what he knew God created him for. Like, he had that what we call significant emotional event in his life. And from that significant emotional event, he was able to put together a whole concept that was so revolutionary that the whole world was affected by it. Not only in economics and politics and agriculture and education, this man had a broad range of creations that he came up with that could probably change the world in a way that we, if we just pay attention. So when you told me about what does he mean to our children, you know, it takes me back to the parent and family reconstruction learning lab on all the things that you talk about, from character to understanding, parents understanding how to speak to their children, how to deal with their children, not say what's wrong with them, but what happened to you. So I was inspired just by the show itself on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to bring this to the table and not get it too detailed, because we have another presentation we want to give, but the detailed information. And I just want to read one of his favorite quotes from the Bible. He spoke the Bible. He taught the Bible to his students. You know, and nobody ever said, he said that he, what was in the Bible, he didn't explain it the way that it was, but he gave his own natural explanation of what Scripture meant. And one of the ones that he always talked about, that was Proverbs 22, verse 6, he said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he would not depart from it." And we always use that particular verse as well, because we do know if we take our children and put them in the right state of mind, give them the right information, put them in their origin of who they are and what they are and how they came into this world, then our children will grow up and be exactly what they should be and respect that gift, respect that talent, that skill set that the Creator gave them. George Washington Carver is a perfect example of that.
Yes.
You know, he depended upon his Creator for all things that he did. So it's a remarkable opportunity for me, and I appreciate the opportunity to just share with a listening audience who this man is. And you're talking about a human being? We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about faith. And we're going to talk about commitment. We're going to talk about all the things that develop your character in your lives, and the things that we should be teaching our children. And that is what he brings to the table, Mark, more so than anything else. He gives us an opportunity to have character shown, not just talked about. A man who represents, and we know our prophet was everything to us. You know, we do know that. But in our faith, in our time, here was a man who was so close to the Creator that he inspired him to speak to plants. He inspired him to create things, you know. So that this parent participation and training that you do here, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that in George Washington Carver. And those of you who don't know him, he was one of the teachers at Tuskegee University. He was born in the early 1860s, and he passed away in 1943. He was a teacher. He was an agriculturalist. He was a scientist. He was an inventor. He was a biologist, a botanist. And he had such a name. At 12 years old, they called him the plant doctor. We're not talking about African-American people. We're talking about the European race. They labeled this child at 12 years old as the plant doctor. He could cure and help anybody who had plants. So his ability to understand biology, which is one of his professions, his ability to have a fungi collection, which is the largest fungi collection in the world. We know fungi is really something that we need to know about, and he was able to bring that into existence. And there were no books. When he went to school, the teachers, he knew more than the teachers knew. They said, "Well, I can't teach him anything. He knows more than we do." So this revolutionary guy, you know, this man who was so important and so powerful, and he brought to the nation, he brought to this country a new mind, a new language. You know, so go ahead, Mark. I know you were going to say
I'm enjoying you. I'm quite sure our radio listening audience is enjoying you, and want to just say to those who may have tuned in a little late, You are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Rashid Salam, our special guest facilitator. And I do mean special tonight, as he always fills in the first Wednesday of the month for Dr. Patricia Slaudine. Inshallah, will be back with us next week. You said some very, very, I think, vital things, and we're talking about the intangibles, qualities of Dr. George Washington Carver in terms of character. In the 21 indispensable essential qualities that we've ran here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab for almost 2 years, going back to the sister station AM 360, that was the first of the indispensable essential qualities of a leader. Some of us may not see Dr. George Washington Carver as a leader, but most certainly he was a leader in the scientific world, but he was also a leader in terms of acknowledging and deferring all what it is that he got. What he got and what he received from the Creator. And I think that this is a great thing to have in terms of character, and having the type of character that Allah wants us to have as human beings, because it is Allah that feeds our mind. It is Allah that teaches us, as you well know, Rashid, and Allah tells us in the Quran, and Allah is teaching you. And his acknowledgement of that, and deferring the praise and the glory and the appreciation to the Lord and Creator. I believe in my heart, mind, and soul, Rashid, that Allah blessed him to do some special things because of his acknowledgement of him and the type of character that he exemplified. And it wasn't all about money for him. Rashid, absolutely, talk a little bit about the character of this man that distinguishes him from other scientists. Others have been able to go into the creation, uncover and discover what Allah had put in, as Imam Muhammad had described it, as the systems of knowledge. Everything that is created is a system of knowledge. Before Dr. George Washington Carver, man was just eating peanuts.
Yes.
He was eating the potatoes, the sweet potatoes. He was eating these things that Dr. George Washington Carver brought into the lab. He brought it to the lab, bring it to the lab. He brought it to the lab, and he began to investigate and to extrapolate. And it began to communicate with what it was. Talk about a little bit about that, if you would, Rashid.
Yes, sir. You know, he just said it's simply service that measures success. He was motivated by his love for all of creation. You know, for him, you know, studying the soil, looking at flowers and understanding how the birds work and how the birds fly, his complexity didn't interfere with his ability to talk to whoever it may be. There was no color barrier with him. And his vision was about teaching. His success, you know, his life was one of service through helping others through real education, real understanding, bringing us the kind of happiness that inspires you. So when you start talking about character, everything I know about this man is like I'm reading him right out of the Quran on what it is to be a human being. His character, outstanding. His faith, undeniable. His persistence, his patience. As he went through all the vicissitudes of life, nothing interfered with his ability to reason or proceed or do the work that God had brought him here to do. You know, when I say a significant emotional event, Mark, I think he knew what his role was after going to the schools and getting kicked out of college because of his race and still pursuing his art. The man became an artist. His defining moments was, he went to school to be an artist and wound up finding out that this is not what I want to do. And he pursued another area. As he said, the more my ideas developed, the more beautiful and the grand scheme of things that I had in my plan. I have laid out to pursue, or rather, satisfy the one God who was destined for me. It was the only way I would be successful in life. So his commitment, his submission, his belief system was so well intact. So I can understand when someone says you have the ability to communicate or see things that other people can't see. They said he would walk by a plant. He said, "What are you doing here, little plant? You're in the wrong place." He said, "There's no such thing as." You know, he said, "There's no such thing as a weed. It's a plant growing in the wrong place." Now, where did he get this from, Mark? The most interesting thing about this man, Mark, I'm telling you, his ability to see, his ability to pick up on different things, it was just so outstanding because he reached how things were supposed to be. And people came to him. He had no problem with your color scheme, but he did one thing. I will work with my people. He turned down hundreds of thousands of dollars from Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, and other people who tried to lure him away from Tuskegee University. He would not go. He said, "If I left here for that money, I'll forget my role, and I can't help the people who I came here to serve." Now, come on, Mark. What does this sound like? It's like we're reading the Quran right before our eyes, right?
Well, Rashid Salaam, you know, as I listen to you talk, I got a big smile on my face, and you know, the laughter that you hear is that of joy to know, as you so vividly describe his character. Also, something very, very important that you said in terms of commitment and purpose. You know, a lot of people come onto this earth, but they never realize their purpose. And you know me as a wordologist. I got two acronyms that I use for purpose. You know, the one is that it's a collective purpose that Allah has given us in the Quran, Surah 51:56. And this is how I derived the acronym for purposes: people understanding real the revealed plan of successful existence. Once again, that's people understanding the revealed plan of successful existence. But to each is a goal, meaning you have a specific purpose for being and the commitment to that. And that is the personal understanding of revealed plan of successful existence. I think it's clear, it should be clear to our radio listening audience, that he realized his purpose, the personal understanding of the revealed plan of successful existence. What do you mean, the revealed plan? For those who don't know, Allah is the one, God is the one that has the revealed plan for a successful existence for us. But it has to become the personal understanding of why you are here, your purpose for being. And Allah has given to each talents, skills, gifts, presence, and some have been given multi-presence and gifts. And it's obvious to us that Dr. George Washington Carver, he realized that and was committed. He was committed to his purpose for being. Rashid, I think that, you know, that's something to really, really, really think about and want to say to our radio listening audience. This is your time to press 1 and ask questions, because I won't run out of questions. I might run out of time, but I won't run out of questions. So I do want you to have an opportunity. This subject tonight is titled, What Every Parent and Child Should Know About Dr. George Washington Carver. And there will be a part 2 tomorrow here on IWDM Radio as we'll talk about the national holiday that many of you are not aware of. But tonight, we're focusing on What Every Parent and Child Should Know by Dr. George Washington Carver. So please press 1 if you got a question or comment, or if what you're hearing Rashid Salaam disseminate about Dr. George Washington Carver is resonating with you, I'm quite sure he'd like to hear from you. Back to you, Rashid Salaam.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, this great scientist, I mean, his quotes inspired me, Mark. Just the things that he said about God, you know. He said God is going to reveal to us anything that we want. He never revealed anything to you until you put yourself in his hands. See, No book has ever went into the laboratory. The thing I'm to do and the way of doing it is always revealed to me because of the methods and the plans that I have. I'm being inspired by the Creator of the universe. He's being inspired, you know, so we know about inspiration. You know,
yes.
We know that came through our prophet. He comes through inspiration. But unless you submit your total will to the Creator, we don't know what dimension he can put us on. You know, I mean, you
that's
know,
right.
We really don't because our faith hasn't got there yet. This man has so many tragedies in his life. He was stolen by the Ku Klux Klan, him and his mother. You know, he had whooping cough. And the European who had him on his farm, he went after him and gave up a horse to get George Washington Carver back. Now, back in those days, the horse was valuable. You know how valuable the horse was back in those days.
Yeah.
But he thought enough of this young child at that time. So that was inspiration right there. This man knew the power of this young person. And so he was willing to go after him after being stolen and provide the means of getting him back. And he developed the foundation for his culture development on that farmland. At 11 years old, he left home to go to school, Mark, because he read everything in the Bible. He had read everything that was possible. And the guy said, I can't teach you nothing else. He taught himself to read. You know, so here we go. And he read the universe. He said, if you ever want to talk to God, there's a whole system available. Just go outside early in the morning and look a picture of the universe and have a conversation. No.
I'm really lying. This is good. And once again, if you just tune in, you listen to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and our special guest facilitator is none other than Rashid Salam, and he's really putting it down tonight in terms of what every child, what every parent needs to know about Dr. George Washington Carver. I would have to dare say he's one of a kind. And when we talk about scientists but also his humanitarian type qualities that he had, and number one, in recognizing the Creator and some of the things that Rashid is disseminating, what he said. You see, so we can see how Allah blessed him to distinguish himself and blessed him to uncover and discover all of these things as he did it for, not only for us, but for all of humanity. And you know, Rashid, want to say this here, when you talk about the horse and everything, the horse was considered to be a very valuable piece of property they had.
Yes.
Matter of fact, they had more value on the horse than they did us as human beings. But for
that's
to give
true.
Up a horse, to get it back, that was saying a whole lot because in retrospect, they realized, you understand, that this man, in fact, was a genius. He was truly blessed by Almighty God, Allah. So at this time, please, if what you're hearing is resonating with you, this is your time to press 1. You got a question or comment. We really would like Rashid Salam to be able to respond to that. Don't wait till the last minute. Go ahead, Rashid. Stay quiet tonight. You must got him spellbound.
Well, we got a hearing raise. I just want to say this real quick before I take the call. You know, George Washington Carver was a timeless message for humanity. He was motivated by his love for all creation, all the way down to the insect. He respected all creation. And, you know, and the reason when you brought up the conversation on where the child should know, you know, that's the inspiration that a child needs to come up with a better understanding, a foundational approach to himself. You can't sit back and say, oh, I can't do that. Or they stopped me from doing it. This man here left home at 11 years old. And his quest to find out who he was, he had poverty. He had to create his own job. He washed clothes to make money. He went through prejudice. He went through violence. It was injustice at all, every part of his lifetime, because he was born in the, you know, the late 1890s. And so what did it look like in those days, you know, when black men couldn't do anything? But he always seemed to be able to get through to people because of his knowledge. His intelligence. His intelligence was so superior. How do you know that? You know that type of thing. When someone hears you speak, and you know you don't know I never heard that before. You know, you're interested in having a conversation with that person. So with that, his heart being so right, and his vision was just so powerful. So he embraced all everybody. He embraced everything and everybody. Well, everything was a part of creation. You want to talk about nutrition? You want to talk about soil maintenance? You want to talk about chemistry? You want to talk about mycology? You want to talk about botany? You want to talk about chemistry? You want to talk about music? You want to talk about art, cooking? And he created an oil to help people with polio, Mark. He had people coming to him who had polio. Teddy Roosevelt had polio. He should make special trips to the university to get treated by Dr. George Washington Carver. He made this statement before I take your caller. He said, there's no greater work being done in the United States of America, matter of fact, in the world, than the work of Dr. George Washington Carver. So we're going to cover some of those things for shortly. About
Let's go to the caller, Rasheed. Salam, and just see what they have on their mind. They got a question or comment for you, if you would, please.
We have 773-448. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
449. Assalamualaikum.
449.
Muhammad, Buddha, Lord, Rabbi Al, Amin. What every child, I have to add something to it, and adult should know about George. Because I did not know this information about my brother. I heard of some of the things, and most of the things they tell us is surface knowledge, like the peanuts and other little things that most of us are familiar with. But what you're sharing with us tonight, it is so profound. I am so inspired, you know, and especially when you talk about faith in God and being a hearing listening, and being obedient to Allah. And he say, if you remember me, I remember you. So in his George Washington God consciousness and Allah knowing his heart and his soul, he was a clear vessel for him to reveal himself to, and for George Washington to hear it and to implement it in his life for helping humanity. What more can you ask for? I'm just so inspired, Brother Mark and Brother you have transformed my spirit in even more of listening to what Allah can reveal to me, who I can be for humanity to help them identify what they need to be listening and hearing from Allah, and to get the gift. That was a gift from Allah that he gave George Washington because he of his innocence, of his heart, and just so much more that Allah recognized. You can almost say from the standpoint of Prophet Muhammad, while Allah gave him the revelation because of who he was in his heart.
Right.
And so I'm just so elated. I just thank you so much for what you man with
us.
It becomes what inquiring minds want and need to know. So what you said about this rush time probably would have never been concealed or revealed on this level, because it hasn't been overall. Mostly what we got was surface information. So this is just so wonderful, and thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam. Thank you so much, Amir Muhammad. I know I'm inspired, and I think Rasheed Salam is inspired just from listening to Amira.
Don't give me
you know, just what has resonated with her heart, mind, and spirit. And I'm hoping that we get some more calls here because,
we
got another caller, so let's go. And thank you so much, Amira Muhammad, for calling in and sharing that, the information, because there was a lot that we just didn't know in just these few minutes. What Allah has blessed special guest facilitator Rasheed Salam to share with us. Many of us didn't know this about Dr. George Washington Carver and his character, his commitment, his dedication to his purpose. And that's very important. What is your purpose for being? Everybody have to know and understand that. And that's the way we serve Allah. Oh, I could say more about that, but I want to hear from our caller, Rasheed Salam, who we have up next.
That's a significant emotional event, Mark. I just get excited. I mean, just his quotes, man, it just drives me. We have 618-713. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I know who that is.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Henry Muhammad.
Where you from, Henry Muhammad?
I'm sorry, but that's a famous voice, but we got
a radio listening audience that's national and international. Where are you from?
I'm from Illinois, Carbondale, Illinois. I just want to say, listening to this presentation, this presentation needs to be in every school.
Yes.
And college.
Yes.
I mean, just this particular presentation and the way George Washington Carver's mind is being looked at.
Yes,
showing the similarities between his mind and all human beings' mind.
That's right.
And how a child can benefit from this kind of information. We need to think about that. See if we can get lined up with the educational system and make some presentations in the school systems.
I'll share with you a little bit more about that, Brother Henry, about where we are.
Yeah.
Starting with me, and we're going to kind of reserve some of that to tomorrow. We'll touch
well, yeah, we want you to listen to all of it because he hasn't got an opportunity to say all of it. There's more, and there's going to be more. I split it up here, you know, because he is the first Wednesday special guest facilitator. And just he has been the one in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, that has brought this to the forefront. And tomorrow we're going to talk about, on January the 5th, how significant that is, because that's a national holiday. So how many people know that? But there's going to be information and education come tomorrow after the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So we want to try to get out as much information as we possibly can, and we hope you're taking good notes. And we want to appreciate our brother Henry Muhammad calling in from Carbondale, Illinois, and of course, my good friend Amira Muhammad calling in and sharing what is resonating with her. So we want to give him as much opportunity to disseminate as much more information that we can get before the top of the hour. So we ask that you continue to listen and continue to take these notes, because this is not something you're going to get in most history books in terms of the character of Dr. George Washington Carver. Thank you so much, Brother Henry, for calling in and sharing with us. Assalamu alaikum.
You know, Mark, I'm telling you, the more
press
you,
one,
the more
please about, press one, Brother Henry. Yes, go ahead, Rashid.
Yeah, the more people come on and say something, man. I mean, my light just shining, man. I'm telling you, I'm just so excited. I can't sit still. I don't even know where to start. I want to get back to today. Was about
man, you,
children.
Well, you
the
know what? This
children.
Is this is beautiful for our community, and I do echo what Brother Henry shared in this regard, because, you know, Imam Muhammad said it to us, and he said it best, and it's been echoed and echoed by many in our community. You know, we talk about his story, but we have our story.
Wow.
And we can't think or feel as though somebody's going to tell our story. We have to tell our story. So those things, you understand, that can be inspirational to our young people, that they actually need to know about this great man
and
how he became a vessel. Look what Allah blessed him with, because he was an ideal vessel.
Yes, he was.
You can't, I mean,
yes,
any other scientist that that in the world history of humanity that exemplified the human qualities, the humanitarian qualities that Dr. George Washington Carver had. Now, yes, Allah blessed him to uncover and discover things, but not to the length and the contributions that Dr. George Washington Carver did. So let's talk about a few of those things in this segment in terms of what every child and parent needs to know about Dr. George Washington Carver. Rashid?
Yes, sir. You want to talk about humility, Mark? Let me just talk about humility for a minute.
Okay.
See, all these character traits that make up the human being, this man represented and demonstrated. Now, out of all the creation, now check it, his products created beverages, cosmetics, dyes, paints, stain, food, candy bars. He had medicine, and he had an opportunity to talk about the general stuff like grease and acne. He created a plastic for Henry Ford to put in the dry shaft of his car. And when he was trying to get his car done, the Model T Ford, he was responsible for that crankshaft with the plastics and things of that nature. And when Thomas Edison offered him $100,000 in 1924 to come to work for him, he said, oh, no, I can't take that because if I take
repeat
that money, I'll forget my
teeth. Repeat that amount of money that he was offered by Henry Ford.
$100,000 a year.
What would that be equivalent to Rashid Salaam today? At least
$1 million,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, about $1.2 million. No, <I'm sorry. laughs> So,
what did he?
Hey, Mark,
what did he tell Henry Ford? Tell the people. What did he tell Henry Ford?
He said, "No, if I take this money, I'll forget my people." His service.
Say
it
again. If I take this money, what?
I'll forget my people. Now we can really go into the subject matter on that one. You know how people get that money, forget all the way where it came from, right? When Booker T. Washington asked him to come to help, in the Tuskegee University while they was building that school brick by brick by African American people, it was he who went in and changed the soil content in Alabama. Mm-hmm. It was he who created training programs for all the farmers in the black on the land back in Alabama. It was he who traveled across the country sharing with people what you need to do to make the soil nutrition, to provide soil maintenance, to provide all those things, and how to put the right natural herbicides and pesticides. I'm telling you, that's a good word. Now, we know about herbicides and pesticides. He came up with a natural pesticide, natural paint. When you paint your house, you didn't have to paint it again for 25 years. That's how standard paint got into business. Here's what I'm saying. This is what I'm trying to get to. He could have been a multi-millionaire, and Tuskegee University could have been the most powerful school on the planet, but he didn't patent anything. He said, God gave it to me for free. I can't charge anybody. Is that humility? Is that humility? Now, just think about this. He created 325 products from peanuts, 118 different applications from the sweet potato, 75 products that was derived from pecans and soybeans. To this day, where he went to school at Iowa State, they're still getting money from the federal government. They got the biggest soybean plantation in the country, and it was left because of George Washington Carver. They have a statue of George Washington Carver at Iowa State University, a museum named after him because of his contribution, his continual blessings. As he's no longer here, his legacy lives. When I say that, you got to hear what I'm saying. Over 24 schools and high schools are named after him. He has 3 science centers named after him. In Missouri, there's 210 acres national monument with his statue in the front of the George Washington Carver National Monument. Here's a really good one. Henry Ford in Dearborn, Michigan, has a museum. He thought enough of George Washington Carver to come all the way back to Missouri and get the cabin that he grew up in. He created that cabin at the museum, and in that cabin, every single stick of wood come from a different state, states of America. So he have a number of 50 different states. Who? Somebody knew who this man was.
Tonight, the information that you're disseminating tonight, Rashid Salaam, I'm hoping that our radio listening audience is really lending an ear to the outstanding contribution that this humanitarian, Dr. George Washington Carver, not only made in terms of us as an ethnic group for the United States of America, but for the whole world of humanity that they're still benefiting from. And so those that was in the know, understanding and realizing his benefit, his value, and what it was that he shared, monuments built in his honor what it was he gave, and he couldn't be bought. I think that this is he couldn't be bought. I mean, look at somebody at that time turning down $100,000 or more, and perhaps other offers that was made to him. But we know about Henry Ford in history, in American history, and what he could have obtained for himself. But also, it needs to be said that Dr. George Washington Carver was not selfish. And when we look at the Quran, we know that Allah says, "And spend out of that which we have provided for you." Yes, he was the type of man that was able to spend or to give out of what it was that Allah blessed him with. And
yes,
he blessed him with an abundance of talent, abundance of insight. And because, as you so eloquently articulated, in terms of his heart was pure. It was, he had the pure intention, the motivation, the desire to serve all of humanity, even to the point, like what you said, in terms of the patent.
You see,
that's the way that which becomes the property, as they say, the intellectual property of what it is, or what it is that is derived from your investigation, your scientific investigation, and what it is you uncover and discover and begin to create from the creation. Wow. He wasn't worried about who got it, because Allah freely gave it to him, and he's like, forget about that. I'm just giving it to humanity. But now when something comes up, Rashid, everybody wants to get a patent because they want to be sure to reap the benefits of what it is. We don't see scientists today even mentioning God's name. That, to me, is a remarkable thing that he had as a part of his makeup as a human being. Rashid?
Right. Yeah, you know, the beauty of what you're saying, Mark, as you were speaking, it just goes back to the day's time where we could be the richest group of people on the planet Earth. But by not having because of the Jim Crow laws and the things of that nature, we're just trying to go to school and get an education. The school, just like if you work for a corporation, you come up with an idea, it belongs to the company. Well, the school didn't have the sense. And I'm not talking about anybody at this point, because they knew the trouble they're going to be having trying to get things patented and trademarked. But Standard Paint took one of his ideas. Now, check this out, Mark.
Yes.
This man created 118 products, and one of the processes was synthetics, including plastics. He had a rubber substitute used in highway construction material, over 500 dyes and pigments that came from 28 plants that he researched on. He was responsible for the invention in 1927 of a process for producing paint stains from the peanut, and had opportunity to have three separate patents when they were issued, but nobody ever took them over. So we lost all these things. When you start talking about ideas, face cream, antiseptic soap, hand lotion, all for your scalp. He had a rubbing oil that was so powerful, if you had any pain anywhere, it'll go away. All these dyes. All these, you know, milk substitutes, coffee substitutes, you know, cream for milk. The medicines, you're talking about to help you with bronchitis, got rid of gout, got rid of all types of laxative problems that you had, all the amplifiers, curing venereal diseases. You know, Mark,
You know, man, I'm telling you, I'm just flabbergasted in terms of just hearing about that. And this is how I made my livelihood as a painter decorator, using all types of paint, and not even have that knowledge and insight of the contribution that probably the world's greatest scientist, the greatest scientist in human history came from my ethnic group.
When you think about 1945, you know, those who were, some of us born, some of what we know the history of 1945, they was hanging us, beating us, burning down our cities. But the Congress, the United States Congress designated January 5th, as Dr. George Washington Carver, it's a federal holiday. All federal buildings are supposed to fly their flags half staff on tomorrow day.
And you know, we're going to talk more about that to our radio listening audience. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow, which is January the 5th, a national holiday going all the way back. It's on the books. It's not promoted. It should be promoted. Don't expect others to promote it. Don't expect others to acknowledge it.
We're positive.
This was one from our own ethnic group, Dr. George Washington Carver.
Yeah, I'm processing right now.
You can't acknowledge anything that you don't know.
That's right.
And this is an opportunity here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It's a word, tolerance of the word. No, K-N-O-W. Know now or wonder. This
go.
Is an opportunity to know now or wonder.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes, sir.
The wonder about things. We don't have to do that. But
yes,
we do
indeed.
Have to share with the research in terms of Dr. George Washington Carver and his Amira so eloquently articulated, not just surface knowledge about him, but
yes,
really
sir.
To know about him and how he was inspired. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can inspire you too if your heart is right. If you have the right intention, the right motivation.
That's exactly what he says, Mark. That's the beautiful part about it. You know, the reshaping of our children. You know, you start with a person like this, with under the worst odds, and you inspire our children. I started the first STEM program in the United States of America on George Washington Carver. They came out to copy what I did in California. We'll talk about that another time. But let me just say this. I'm looking at a 50-cent piece right now. A 50-cent piece with George Washington Carver's face on it that was produced in the early 50s. We have he's the only person in the country, including all presidents, that's had two U.S. stamps. You know, just to give you some idea, he has stamps. He's the only person ever to have two stamps, a 50-cent piece in his honor. We got stamps from Nigeria, stamps from over in Africa. We have stamps from Ghana, the U.S. Postal. I mean, it's like, come on. You know, so the thing is,
yes.
I just want to share with you why this inspiration is so important for us. All you teachers out there, how do you say, wake up everybody, time to teach a new way? Maybe I'll tell you what you have to say. Well, the bottom line is right now, this is the inspiration we need to encourage our young people to have a cultural, rich self-identity. When we relate to somebody like this, we can relate to the Booker T. Washington, the Noble Drew Ali's, and all those people who are part of our history. History is important, but that foundation, that cultural foundation has been taken away from us. And this is the role of our teachers. These are the role of our parents. These are the role of our supplemental instruction programs that we should have on weekends to inspire our kids to be scientists, and engineers, and mathematicians, and physicists, astronomical physics and things of that nature. But more importantly, the bioengineering into the soil, because if we don't protect this soil, we won't be able to survive. And he was outstanding agriculturalist. Outstanding agriculture. So the character, the faith, the persistence, and all those things that he went through gives us ability to function in a way to reshape our history, to look at things in a completely different way. Understand?
Yes.
We are science teachers. I mean, when I brought this first up in California, not one science teacher in California knew anything about George Washington Carver. They hid it from us. They hid it from us. I just happened to be blessed to find it in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Monsanto Corporation here in St. Louis, he's in their Hall of Fame. The American Chemical Society, he's in their Hall of Fame. The largest chemical society, nonprofit in the country, they know who he is. U.S. Department of Agriculture know who he is. But anyway, I want to take this call of Mike.
But anyway, what we got to do, Rashid Salam, we read at the top of the hour here. I know, as I had said to our radio listening audience and just said to them, that you are a walking encyclopedia when it comes to Dr. George Washington Carver. And this is to be continued. This is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, a special learning lab tonight, as it is titled tonight, What Every Parent, What Every Child needs to know about Dr. George Washington Carver. I want to just say to the radio listening audience, we will have part two, and that will be tomorrow, as Rashid Salam will be on a special MGM roundtable tomorrow, and that will be on how this national holiday actually came about in 1945, which will be tomorrow, January 5th. That's when it was declared a national holiday in regards to Dr. George Washington Carver. Many of our people that are listening in did not know that. There's still a lot more information to come in terms of Dr. George Washington Carver. So I want to say we're at the top of the hour, but since you are a very special guest facilitator, I'm going to give you 1 minute, 1 minute for closing remarks. Rashid Salam.
All right, we're going to have to tell 317-709. We're going to have to hope put them on hold. I did want to hear what they had to say, but, you know, all I want to say is...
What is that now? Who is that? What number is that?
That's 317-709.
Okay. If they can make it very quick, we can do about 45 seconds. Make it very quick.
Sure.
At the top of the hour, we have to transition. Let's open them up.
317-709, your mic is open.
Brother Dennis here. Quick thing. Dr. George Washington Carver, unique scientist.
Yeah.
All great scientists came from the South because they was around the area of cultivation. Later on, remember when Henry Ford got hold to him, he took him up north to the new plantation. The fact, when you look at history, and I'm going to take it way back, my dad said history repeats itself. He went to the corn, Alcorn A&M. He came up here because he had to use a mechanics degree, but
you got 15 seconds, brother.
Okay.
I hate to put the pressure on you like that, but we're
come back to more. I want to hear what you guys say.
Paint,
come back to
dark and hair products. Got to watch what you put in the hair.
Okay. Thank you, brother. You get an opportunity to come back tomorrow. We'll have part two on Dr. George Washington Carver National Holiday, which would be January the 5th. It was established in 1945. So please check in early. Don't wait till the last minute. Thank you so much, Brother Dennis, for coming in. I want to say to our radio listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And a special thanks go to our special guest facilitator tonight at the Walking Inside Encyclopedia when it comes to Dr. George Washington Carver. He will be back with us on a special MGM Roundtable following the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we want to let you know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow will be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir out of the Jewels of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as week four on correct communications for establishing a healthy, harmonious relationship. And tomorrow, you will have to be able to become a critic and use all the information we gave you in the other three productions on the series of correct communication, because we will be doing some role playing. Yes, tomorrow you'll get a chance to hear Karan Shakir playing a role as my wife tomorrow, and you'll get an opportunity to hear me playing her husband tomorrow. And we're going to have things that will be scripted, and we're going to do it the wrong way. But you're going to be the critics to tell us what it is that we did wrong in the communication, and then we're going to do it the right way, and you're going to have to be able to tell us what it is that we did right. So you want to tune in for that. And following the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab will be a special MGM roundtable. My guest will be Rashid Salam, be part two on the great scientist, Dr. George Washington Carver. So those of you who didn't get an opportunity to get your question or your comment in today, be ready tomorrow as we open up the lines early so that you can have that opportunity. And so now we transition to the MGM roundtable. And as always, I like to always begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Alamin. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet, I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I'd like to extend the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that obligates the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace to our national and international audience of Assalamu Alaikum. And I want to say to those of you who tune in each and every Wednesday, you know I like to bring and present to you very distinguished guests inside of our community. That's the community, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as tonight is a special MGM roundtable, as we have the assembled a very distinguished, esteemed panelist, and they will be taking on the topic, which is a theme for IWDM Radio this year, and that theme is Set Yourself Free in 2023 by Thinking with the Quran. So we're looking for some excellent insight in terms of that theme. And also I want to say to you that are listening in, many of you listening in have been given a personal invitation by me to call in and to share your commentary on this outstanding theme, which should be the central idea and focus for us in this year 2023, in terms of Set Yourself Free in 2023 by Thinking with the Quran. And with that being said, I'm going to, Rashid Salam, make sure that you open up the mic of all our distinguished panelists, and I'm just going to extend the greetings and then do a little roll call here. I'd like to welcome all of you. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I think I heard about three voices there. Let's do a little roll call here, make sure see who I have on board. And if okay. you have been invited to be a part of the panelists, all you have to do is press 1. Press 1, and Rashid Salam, he will open up your mic. And let's start with our sisters first. Fran Shakir, are you with us?
I am here. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Dear sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, are you with us?
Not here yet.
Not yet. Okay. Yeah. Okay,
I'll
not yet.
Now.
Okay. So you might need to give her a quick text there, Rashid. I'm really loud. Instructor Abdul Shaheed, are you with us?
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Alaikum assalam. Welcome.
Thank you.
Rashid Salam, we know he's with us. I've already given him assignment already. And Imam Mikhail Sayer, are you with us? Oh, he's not with us. Okay. So, alhamdulillah. Okay. Imam Mikhail Sayer? Take yourself off of mute. If you're on mute, you may be on mute. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Imam Sahir?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. We can hear you now, brother Imam. Alhamdulillah. So first and foremost, I want to welcome all of you to the MGM Roundtable here on IWDM Radio. And we have as tonight a theme for IWDM Radio. This is a theme for IWDM Radio by the consensus of our hosts and the staff here that comprise IWDM Radio. But this theme is being extended to the whole of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and want to say that I got word yesterday from the National Convener of Imams, as was brought to them, they have unanimously accepted this theme, and they have asked that we do a synopsis. I got somebody in mind to do a synopsis of what is disseminated tonight by this distinguished panel, and it be sent in, just on one page, sent in, and it will be posted. It will be posted by the national convener, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, in the sectional imams, which are seven, in Association Imam W.D. Muhammad. They have accepted this as a theme for our community. And so hopefully we'll get our beloved sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, to join us and to be accepting of this. And we know that a theme is a central idea or a central focus that we should have. And so I'm always reminded when I have a panel to always incorporate the Quran. Think, as we say, thinking with the Quran. Allah says that in all our affairs or dealings, we should be fair and just. In all our dealings, be fair and just. So I know I have some very distinguished, esteemed guests and intellects that I have on this panel. So I want to be fair and just to all of them. So the questions will be asked. It'll be a time parameter. You don't have to utilize all your time, but you need to know how much time that you have to respond to the questions that will be asked. And I'll use the round-robin technique always. So whatever question or what that will be asked, everybody will get the opportunity to ask to answer that question, and they won't be first all the time. If, whoever's first will be last the next time in that regard. So I do want to open up this discussion and this dialogue. I want to say to our radio listening audience that you can and hopefully be a part of this. You do have to press 1 if you have dialed into the studio. And I'm also aware of the fact that we have a lot of listeners that that are listening in by way of the Internet. For you to be involved, you have to dial 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673 and press 1. And Rashid Salam will alert me that you have your hand up, and we will bring you into this dialogue. And this is a very important dialogue. I want to thank all of you for coming and being a part of the MGM Roundtable and taking on this topic, this theme, Set Yourself Free in 2023 by Thinking with the Quran. I want to start with our sister first, if we haven't gotten Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, but please, Rashid, you might have to remind her and everything.
I've already called her.
And when you see her number, I'm going to ask her to press 1. I'll continue to do that. So we're going to start with you, Sister Quran. You're the lone sister. So we always like to do ladies first here. And I'm going to ask that everybody take these 3 minutes, up to 3 minutes, and I'll be the timekeeper. So when you hear me say alhamdulillah, if you get a little excited, you don't have to stop in the middle of the sentence, but I want you to complete your thought. So everybody will have 3 minutes for opening statement on the theme, Set Yourself Free in 2023 by Thinking with the Quran. And I'm going to start with you, my co-host on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, our very distinguished, esteemed sister, one of our premier educators, Quran Shakir. Assalamu alaikum, Quran. And welcome to the MGM Roundtable.
Wa alaikum assalam. And I think this is a wonderful thing. And what impresses me most about it, I think that so many of us look for ways to find healing and find a way forward. And Allah says that He has given us a book that is a healing. And it is a book without doubt in it. And if we could understand that, I think that this would be a wonderful opportunity for us to collectively go into the Quran and find some jewels and find some particular thing for each one of us and use that to, quote-unquote, set ourselves free. And in setting ourselves free, that's our individual selves, our families, our children, our community, and inshallah, our society and the world.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Craig had to use all of her time, but alhamdulillah. What an excellent opening comment from you, Craig and Shakir. Thank you so much. And then now I want to go to our brother, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. I want to welcome you to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like assalam, Imam Mark Shaheed. We certainly appreciate you inviting us to this very special roundtable discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And we are definitely happy to be here.
Alhamdulillah.
And my brief opening statement is, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We give all the praise and the thanks to the Almighty Source Creator who created everything. And he's separate and independent of the creation. And I just like to say the theme is phenomenal because this is how we set ourselves free. That's why we have the Quran. The Quran is to set the human being free. And Prophet Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, he was the demonstrator.
Mm-hmm.
He demonstrated the Quran in order for us to set ourselves free. So the Quran, I just like to say, is recorded inside of each and every one of us. It's in our nuclear histone. It's already recorded in us. No way we could have made it here without it being recorded inside of us. It is in our genes. But we have to access that knowledge, and that's what thinking is all about. I'll just leave it right there for the moment.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
Oh, alhamdulillah. See, this is going to be an outstanding dialogue on setting yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. So now we're going to go to a very distinguished esteemed, the host of the outstanding production on Tuesday night, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, Rashid Salam. You got 3 minutes. What's your opening comments on this thing, Rashid?
Well, Quran took my opening statement. Well, that's okay.
Well, you got to say something yourself. You know?
I got the laughter and the smiles going, you know, and I love the concept of setting yourself free in 2023, thinking on the Quran. You know, how can you not use the language of the Quran when we're trying to change the world as we know it? You know, and just to take in consideration Sunday, you know, words make people, you know. And the question is, what words? You know, and we know what Quran said. In this book, there is no doubt about anything. So we're looking at the metaphysics, we look at the sciences, we've got all the things in the universe. They're all mentioned in a different language. And in those languages, they talk about the natural sciences. So if we want to be free in our thinking process, if we want to be free in all aspects of our life, and we just talked about that on the previous program, how we must submit our entire will to the will of God, and that submission is Quran. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to submit myself to in this world because, you know, I don't know what I'm going to submit myself to and accomplish anything other than using the language, using the inspiration that comes from the Quranic script. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that opening comment. And last but not least, a very distinguished and esteemed Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, who is one of our very distinguished hosts here. Each and every Sunday, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio that starts at 2 p.m. Eastern and, no, excuse me, 1 p.m. Eastern and high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Words make people. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Mikhail Sayer. And what's your opening comment on this thing? Set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. Brother Imam, Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Alaykum as-salam and greetings to all of your listening audience. My opening comment would be reflecting on the very common reading of the Quran, Surah 66, verse 6, where it says, "O you who believe, save yourself and your family from the fire." And we want to set ourselves free from the fire. The fires of sin, the fires of passion, the fires of appetite. We want to be free from all those dominations that may be in our lives. They may be sent to our lives. We set ourselves free from that so that we are free to serve our Lord and Creator Allah without any partners or associates in any form or fashion. So when it says to save yourself, you want to save ourselves from freedom, I mean, from slavery, because we know the worst form of slavery is false worship.
Yes.
And so, and as I shared with you before, that I want this to be more than just another theme. I think we as African Americans, we've had things going back to the 60s, from Black and I'm Proud, I Am Somebody, you know. So we don't need just another slogan unless this slogan is put together in a very methodical way to where we can have markers, we can see goals, we can set goals so that the words take on life, the words take on flesh and become a live and living slogan that we can have markers. Say, by the Ramadan, we have achieved this as a person and as a community. And then by Labor Day, whatever day we may set to where we can see, but we can see productive change toward a destiny and not just another slogan.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, excellent. And Brother Imam, we're going to, that's going to be one of the questions. That's going to be one of the questions tonight to all of you as panelists. I want to stay here with you. As I said, it's going to be the round robin here as panelists and everything. I want to say to those of you who may have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, as we have a very distinguished, esteemed panelist, some of the outstanding intellects that we have in association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Tonight's dialogue is on the theme for IWDM Radio, and we have got the endorsement from the National Convener of Imams, our sectional imams, the seven sections, that they have accepted this theme in all, and we don't anticipate our beloved sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, accepting the theme, too. And the questions will be related to that. You have an opportunity as a regular listening audience to be a participant, and you can do that by pressing 1. We're going to stay with you, Imam Mikhail Sayer, since you was last. This time you'll be first, and Quran will be last in this opening question statement that I have, and we'll give everybody at least 2 minutes to respond to the statement. Mm-hmm. As you know, being students of Imam W.D. Muhammad, he once said to us, think, for thinking is, he said, think for thinking is a benefit to you. Think for thinking is a benefit to you. And we also know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Dhikr Allahu Akbar, that thinking and remembering Allah is the greatest. And Imam Muhammad, he made a comment on that. He said, yes. He says, thinking and remembering Allah is the greatest or the greater. He said, but for what? He said, but for what? And then he answered his own question. He said, thinking and remembering Allah is the greater for getting the best results in our life. And so this is kind of leading to, I think, what Imam Mikhail Sayer is alluding to, where the rubber meets the road here. And so I want to give you 2 minutes, if you will, and to the other panelists, if you need me to repeat it again, I can repeat it again. Think for thinking is a benefit to you. Tafsir Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Imam Mikhail Sayer, what does that mean to you when you hear our beloved teacher and leader saying that to us in terms of the importance and significance of thinking?
Thinking? What comes to my mind, and thank you for the question, is independent thinking. We've been thinking more so from the position of reacting, chasing, and not leading. So we have not been able to be those who are thinkers from the position of pleasing God. It's sad, but maybe we don't want to talk about it too much, but I think it has been a response to the racism that had been forced upon us, and therefore we are constantly reacting to someone else's inflicting our wrongs against us. So until we can grow, or until we can respond in a way to where we are no longer reacting, but we're being proactive, and that will give us the point where we can come to independent thinking. Lastly, I would say on that thinking, and put an emphasis again on independent thinking, is that when the Europeans came to this part of the country, they didn't come here based upon emancipation, because emancipation comes from a human being to a human being. They declare their independence. And so a declaration is, and they declare that based upon their rights from God, what they call first and inalienable rights. And when it comes to us, we didn't get our freedom from demanding from God. We were appealing, of course we prayed to God, but our freedom came from another human being, and that's not going to work. We had to have the freedom to think upon our needs according to our history, not react to someone else's racism that they put upon us.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that, Imam Sahir. And now, we're going to go to you, Rashid Salam, in terms of that tafsir that Imam Muhammad once gave to us. Think for thinking is a benefit to you, and also what Allah says in the Quran, Dhikr Allahu Akbar. Thinking and remembering Allah is the greatest, and Imam Muhammad gave his commentary, clear explanation, is the greatest for getting the best results in our life. You got 2 minutes to respond to that, Rashid Salam.
Alhamdulillah. Uncovering the gift that God gave us is thinking. That's the gift that we have, that when we read the Quran, we understand its aim and its objective. We understand that central theme runs throughout the Quran, and it allows us to deal with all aspects of our life using real successes so we can understand what our failures are until we follow what's in the Quran by utilizing the thinking process he gave us and knowing that the Quran is our whole life. And the verses that are given in the Quran will inspire us to take on a different intellect, a different mindset, the means and ways of understanding reality in a completely different way than we do, and it separates the truth from falsehood. So you have to think. We have to think on Allah, so He can inspire us and provide us with what we need, because we are putting ourselves in a situation to receive the blessing, to eliminate mental confusion, and to ensure that we have a way of understanding life. And the more we think about it, the more we know, the more we read, the more we grow. So that's what it means to me. It's just an exciting time to go back and listen to the tafsir, but they go to the book. And he's given us the top tier all. So you can't go into the Quran and don't think. You have to ponder on what you read. So thinking and pondering is the types of things that I got from that statement that you just made. Salam
alaikum. Alaikum as-salam. Thank you. Excellent commentary there on that. Tafsir Imam W.D. Muhammad. And now we go to you, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. What does that mean to you? Thinking is a benefit to you, and thinking and remembering Allah is the greatest for getting the best results in your life. 2 minutes, Instructor Abdul Shaheed.
Thank you. That's an excellent statement. Thinking is used to gather information. What do we need for thinking? Since being a student of symptometry, what is used for thinking in a human being is acetylcholine. That's a neurotransmitter. Acetylcholine performs 27 different functions, and one of them is thinking. Thinking is the ability to produce ideas and thought. And the Quran is full of frame of references to make the best decision for ourselves. That's what the life is all about, making decisions. Good decision, good consequences. Bad decision, bad consequences. Nobody have to police you. It's already incorporated in the life. And this is why we have to look for the Quran to get the frame of references, the stories, the allegories. That's what they are, to give us ideas about what decision we must make in any given situation. The Almighty has blessed us with everything. They're all inside of us. But if we cannot produce these neurotransmitters, we will not have the ability to think. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Excellent commentary. Very interesting commentary on the tafsir Imam Muhammad. So last but not least, our beloved sister, Quran Shakir, on what does it mean to you? Think for thinking is a benefit to you. Dhikr Allahu Akbar. Thinking and remembering Allah is the greatest for getting the best results in your life. Quran, you got 2 minutes.
All right. Thank you so much. The first thing that comes to my mind is I think about people who are existing in the world. And then I ask, have you ever seen someone who waits for someone to make a decision before they move and do something? And it makes me think about that quote that there are three types of people in the world: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who ask what happened. So we have to decide where do we want to fall in the spectrum of people. And then we know in the Quran, when you talk about this word think, Allah mentions thinking a lot. And the way that he mentions thinking is he's given a command to us to think. Do you think you're going to be able to do this? Do you think? He asks these questions of us. And 68 times Allah uses this word think in the Quran. And so we know that thinking is important. And I think it's important as an educator because we have the responsibility to teach our children to think. And so what do we do? If we're going to be thinking with the Quran, then what we want to do is to be able to utilize it as a tool to help build the thinking process. And our brother, Dr. W.B. Du Bois, said that we will prosper in the manner that we teach our children to think. So we have to look at how are we thinking them to think. So if we teach them to think with the Quran, then the product that we get, the things that they do is going to look different when they're thinking with Quran. They're not thinking to impress, to go along with whatever the new trend is. They're thinking, what does my Lord want of me? And then when you talk about the goal of remembering Allah, then it makes me remember in Surah 2, Allah says, Faskaruni askarukum wala taskarun. Remember me, and I will remember you, and be not ungrateful. So here Allah is telling us that we have to be those who remember him, and we remember that's a conscious thing we do, like thinking. Only the human beings can do this intellectual thing called thinking. And so in being this thinking person, then we have to be those who understand that Allah is showing us the truth and that we can understand it by using our intellect so that we can be able to reason and use logic to understand his book.
Alhamdulillah. I just had to say, takbir, Allahu Akbar. Outstanding. Outstanding commentary, Quran Shakir, and sharing your reflection on the tafsir Imam Muhammad that he gave to us in thinking. I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And we have assembled a very distinguished, esteemed panel of some of the outstanding intellects that we have in association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and they are sharing their insight on the theme for IWDM Radio this year, Set Yourself Free in 2023 by Thinking with the Quran. And these questions, constructed to bring up and extrapolate the importance of thinking with the Quran in terms of setting yourself free. So you have an opportunity to press 1 if you like to make some commentary on these questions that I'm asking. I won't run out of questions. I might run out of time, but I won't run out of questions, I assure you. And I have so many questions to ask, but I have such a distinguished, esteemed panel, and they're doing an excellent job in sharing the insight that Allah has blessed them with. So at this time, I want to ask Rashid Salam, just to make sure we don't want to keep people waiting for a long time before I go to the next question. Rashid Salam, do we have anybody there on the studio that have their hands up, want to ask a question or make a comment at this time? Rashid?
I think we do, Mark. We have 317-709. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Brother Dennis, I saw Malika.
Alaikum assalam, brother. Well,
thank you.
Question or comment for a distinguished panel, please.
Yes, Islam Aleka, Brother Dennis, Indianapolis. Well, I'm a comment on and deals with the Quran and based up with the Bible. The Bible says, in the beginning, it was darkness. Many versions said that, but in the Quran said, in the name of Allah, blessing is merciful. Now, when you look at that, it has a Fatiha. Oh, Allah. The English verse is in the name of God.
Brother Dennis, can you speak up a little bit? Elevate your voice a little bit. It's a little vague to me. Just
I'm sorry.
Elevate
you
your voice.
Now?
Get it to your mic.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, okay. That's
now,
better.
Dealing with the Quran in the beginning, Al-Fatiha, you know, in the name of thy Lord, or as you say in the beginning of our prayer, but in the Bible, there's many versions of the wording of, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. So when we look at the Quran, what you say is the seal of the prophet, the seal of the book that opens up revelation, you have to understand how the words are worded and how you translate it and use it for your thinking purposes. We all have a way of knowing our Lord, the Creator. We know this one. With that, I'm going to say, the beginning of everything starts from Omega.
Okay, thank you. Alaikum assalam. Thank you so much, Brother Dennis. Thank you for sharing. Yes, sir. Press 1 as you go out so we can keep the studio clear. Okay, Rashid, anybody else with their hands up?
Yes, sir. We do have 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Damir Muhammad from Chicago.
I so humble myself.
Salam. Welcome. You got a question for a very distinguished...
No, this is a comment. This is a comment, because I think they pretty much made it clear, put the clarification to it. I'm so humbled to be able to hear all of these comments. I humble myself because, you know, sometimes we go through in life with our own thinking, and we try to sometimes make it parallel to something else. But like Sister Kwan said, it's a healing, and it's a framework and a reference for our thinking. When we put ourselves into where Allah wants us to be, you can't error. It's only when we put our own self into our thinking capacity. And it's just so much that's been said tonight that I can just take away it is from this, and how it just these few minutes has transformed my spirit. And I'm thankful for Allah for this platform. May Allah continue to bless all of you, because I got something from every one of you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, and thank you, Amir Muhammad, for sharing that this is resonating with you. And we do invite a radio listening audience to press 1, and we'll have a time for our audience. What they're hearing tonight is resonating with them. We want them to share, you know, what does this thing mean to them. Okay, Rashid, any others before we go back to our panelists with more questions?
We
need them to press 1 and go out. Amira Muhammad, Brother Dennis, please press 1. Press 1 and go out, and then you'll have opportunity to come back after some more questions here for our panelists. And the next question that I have for the panelists, and you all are very familiar with the Quran, as Brother Dennis was referencing, at Al-Fatiha, we know that's the opening surah of the Quran. Allah says, as Imam Muhammad has taught us the Al-Fatiha, which he studied for 25 years, he said that the fifth ayat is Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, which is the expression, guide us on the straight path. And then in Surah Al-Baqarah, in 2:2, the second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is the book, and it is guidance sure for those who are consciously regardful of him. And then there's other things that follow, et cetera, et cetera. But the question that is being asked to all of you is, in terms of the guidance in the various components, the various components that comprise the holistic human being, not just the guidance for us physically, there's guidance that's given to us in terms of physically what it is that we should eat and what it is that we shouldn't eat. But those who are students of Imam W.D. Muhammad know we've taken it to another level, what it is that we should be ingesting and digesting in our mental makeup. So my question is, not only in terms of physical guidance, which Allah gives us guidance for that, but we are also moral beings. Guidance for being moral beings. We're also emotional beings. There's guidance in the Quran for the emotional state that we should have. We're also rational and intellectual beings. Allah most certainly gives us guidance in terms of how we should be thinking as rational, intellectual beings. And we're social beings. And Allah most certainly gives us guidance in terms of how we should be as social beings. And last but not least, we are spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings. And Allah gives us guidance and direction in regards to that. So, and we got the four birds and all. But the guidance in these components that I have named in regards to that, that guidance will cause us ultimately, and hopefully this is kind of getting to the point in our individual life, but also our collective life, which I think Imam Mikhail Sayer was alluding to in terms of looking from an individual perspective, but also from a collective perspective in terms of thinking with the Quran and setting yourself free in your individual life, or setting yourself free in your marriage life, setting yourself free in your family life, setting yourself free in your community life, in all the things that actually of interest and concern to the human being, issues and challenges that we're confronted with. I need to know from you all your perspective in terms of what it is that Allah has said, that he has revealed to us, that makes the Al-Fatiha, makes it a dua, that we're asking and requesting for the guidance, and then God responding to us that that is the book, and it is guidance, sure, and how it should be guiding us in our thinking in all the aspects of our life, our individual life, but also our collective life. And I know I said a lot, so if in fact that you don't understand before I start this round robin again, then I ask you as panelists to please ask me to be even more clear in terms of what I'm asking. But simplistically, I'm asking that this is what Allah says in the Quran, not what I say is in the Quran. You all have read the Quran like I have. So how do we see ourselves in asking for the guidance when we recite Al-Fatiha each day, making all our prayers 17 times a day, but Allah responding immediately in Surah Baqarah in the second ayah, telling us that this is the book. That is the book, and it is guidance, sure, without doubt. So it should alleviate any skepticism that we may have that we get in the guidance. And so he's guiding us in all of these components that comprise the holistic human being. So with that, I think that, who am I starting with this time? I think it should be Abdul Shaheed, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's Abdul Shaheed. So, Abdul Shaheed, I know that's a very, I said a whole mouthful there. But how do you see this based on what it is I'm giving you from the Quran, and you know, from your perspective, you know that the human being is just not only a physical human being. We are moral, emotional, rational, intellectual, social, and also spiritual human being. So the guidance is for all of those aspects. And so what it is that you see, if we accept the guidance of the Quran, then what is that you see in terms of how this becomes a benefit to us in these aspects? So give you two to 3 minutes on this one, starting with you, Dr. Abdul Shaheed, your response.
Thank you, Imam Mark Shaheed. You really set the stage. The stage is now set. Really.
I'd
just like to say, simply to say, that this is what the life is about.
Mm-hmm.
The whole life is about the stage that the Almighty has set for us, making the right choices, making the right decision. So he's given us the clue in the Quran. He's given us the clue in Al-Fatiha.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for this guidance. We cannot do this by ourselves. the human being, I already know, and we all know, has two components, one you can see and one you cannot see. The physical person, the body, that we are housed inside of it. But the true person, the soul, the spirit, the emotion, the personality, we cannot even see. And sometimes we get those two mixed up. We are the spirit, the energy, the soul that's housed inside this body. And oftentimes because we have this physical world and it's very attractive, we have all these different illusions. Planet Earth is an echo chamber of illusion. And this is what the Quran says. This life will deceive you. So Allah has given us the guiding because he knows this life will deceive us. Right away, this is what he's paying, this is what he's getting us to focus on. There's guidance, sure, without doubt. There's no doubt in it. But we have a choice not to use the guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the, what most people decide to do. They think they can make it on their own. I can do this. I can do that. And they stray away from the guidance. The Almighty already know we cannot make it on our own because he set booger traps here on this planet, booger traps everywhere. And we have all of these different illusions. The world is not like it seems. Then we have influences in our life. There's so many different things that our young people have to deal with. The influences, negative influences, positive influences. Which one are you going to go with? There's guidance, sure. But we have to be open to it. And that's what the Quran is. Al-Fatiha is to open. And we have to be open to the guidance. How are you going to be guided if you shut yourself down? If you put up the resistance, if you put up the tension, the friction, the negativity, how can you be guided? The Almighty is telling us that you have to be open to the guidance in order to receive it. Everything you need, I've given you already. The favors already been given to us. But we still have to be tested. And that's what happens. When we have the test, are we going to fall apart? Are we going to master the test? Are we going to make use of the frame of reference in the Quran? Are we going to fall apart and make the bad choices? And this is what the human being has to deal with. This is what our young people have to deal with. This is the life that we encounter every single day. The human being has to make choices. Which one are you going to make? Now we have a pattern of conduct to make these choices. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, I would say takbir, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, excellent comment, commentary to that statement and question. I'm going to go to you, Rashid Salam, for your insight, if you would please, in terms of the same statement, a revelation, ayat, instructing sign, coming from Allah that we recite in Al-Fatiha, ending our Siratul Mustaqim, that we're asking for guidance on the straight path, and Allah answering, responding to the seven most often repeated verses of the Quran. And how does that relate to us in the various components that comprise the human being? Rashid Salam, 2 to 3 minutes for you to respond, your commentary.
I won't need that much after Abdul Shaheed said what he said.
I'll tell you that. Take whatever you need.
When I look at Al-Fatiha, you know, it always tells me that mankind is in a test. We're here to be tested. And as we make our mistakes, we need mercy. We need, forgiveness. We need, you know, to be guided in some shape, form, or fashion. And that opening chapter provides us with all the tools that we need because our aim is to be a good example. So others can want to come be a part of what we do. So to be a good example, you have to really understand. You have to know where to get your guidance from. You have to know the time you're living in, and who you're supposed to worship. You know, that inspiration that comes from this particular surah, you know, it allows us the opportunity to be guided on the right way, because God is telling us who he is. And he's also sharing with you who he's not, as you refer to sometimes. You know, so opening this book and getting that information, knowing that no matter what my test is, no matter what I'm going through, I can always go to the Creator. And I can always seek refuge in him and be guided by him if I submit my way of life. And I know that these tests, we have vicissitudes in life. We're going to have some ups and some downs. We're going to have that that happens in life. But we can always go back to the opening and say, okay, that's cool. Let me go back. Let me go back and give ourselves squared away. You know, we should be united with my number two. The most compassionate, the most merciful, you know. All praises be to you, and because you're the Lord of all systems of knowledge. So he's compassionate with us. He guides us. And as you said early on, that in this book there is no doubt, if you believe. And, you know, so I recognize that I'm in this world. I'm going to be tested. I'm going to have some shortcomings. I'm going to have some ups and downs. But I always know one thing, where I can go get my peace, where I can always go and get what I need to continue this journey and continue climbing the levels that I can climb for that new dimension that he's preparing us for with this language here. This language is truly a language that inspires. Also set us apart from anything and anybody else in our environment. We have the blessing to be able to go to our Lord and get what we need to continue the journey.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that. You brought a different aspect in terms of the guidance. And this is still, we set yourself free in 2023.
Yes, sir.
By thinking with the Quran. So those who find themselves being challenged in life, and you're going to be challenged in life, and you're not independent, you have to continuously go to the Quran for guidance. And that should shape and form your thinking and your decision-making. You know, Allah gives us a free will and free don't to freely think for ourselves. But we want to think responsibly. We want to think in the best way. And he also gave us free will to choose, to accept or reject this message. So this is what the consequence is going to be in terms of accepting God's guidance and thinking with God's guidance. And then we're going to get to where Imam Mikhail is talking about, but I'm doing it very methodically to get there, to emphasize the thinking with the Quran. So these questions are constructed for us to begin to start thinking with the Quran, because after all, it is thought that precedes action. You don't want to just be reacting. You want to be proactive, but what is your thinking? And everybody's operating on the word, but it is at the word from the final revelation. So we're going back to our very learned sister here, Quran Shakir. And this is the same question for you in terms of looking at what it is that Allah has revealed to us in terms of asking, requesting guidance from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and then answering it immediately. That is the book. What book? The Quran. In it is guidance, sure, without doubt. So you can't even come to the Quran being a skeptic and everything for those who are conscious, regardful of him. Quran, what does that
all
mean
right
to you? You got two or three minutes.
So I always like to reflect and share what comes to my heart first. So the first thing I thought about was being born and raised Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I got to a point in my life where I didn't want to be a Muslim just because my parents chose that way of life. So I started to study on my own. And I studied so that I could make a conscious decision as a young Muslim. And I studied all of the religions, and I chose Islam for myself after I understood all of the others. I'm saying that to say that then as a mother, I didn't want to just require my children to be Muslim just because this is our family tradition now. I wanted them to be Muslim because they understood Allah, they understood his grace and his mercy and his beauty, and they wanted to choose that way of life because it was so beautiful for them. I'm saying that to say that too many of us make the Quran mystical, and we make it a burden on us and our children. And so I think we have to be grounded, and we have to make the Quran practical, something easy, because it is easy. Allah says it, that he made it easy, easy to understand, easy to recite, and easy to follow. Allah is Al-Qudus, the loving, the holy, Al-Latif, the noble, Al-Wali, the friend. So we have to use these warm, loving words and language in describing the Quran. So in Al-Fatiha, when Allah guides us on how to approach him, the first thing we do after we said Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim with the name of God, and then we give a description of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Then we give the glorification to him. So he's telling us how to approach him. This is practical. How do you approach God? Like this. And then even in his guidance of us, he says that he's the master of all systems of knowledge. What are his systems of knowledge? So then if we could just look at what Allah has given us in the Quran, he tells us about these two waters that meet and don't even cross over, one bitter and one sweet. Whoa, so magical, right? Only God can do that. Here's an opportunity to praise him. He guides us in that way. He gives us stories of 25 of his prophets in the Quran, and each one gives us some moral thing, some law, something that we need to follow in that. We learn how Moses picked a wife and how that father told him, if you do this, this is how you can marry one of my daughters. This is practical application of something in the Quran. We learn how Yusuf was wrongfully imprisoned. Don't we know all about wrongful imprisonment? And now we can teach these kinds of things. This is how Allah guides us by giving us these practical things in his book, through his stories, through his parables, through these testaments that we get. And so it's not all about you got to do this, you got to do this, or you're going to hell. That is not all that Allah talks about in his book. And so this is how we're guided. And he says, and there is no doubt in this. And it is good 1,400 years ago, and it is good now, all the things that we can live by. And that's what I say to us. When we're living with it, we have to make, if we're making all of these resolutions, here's a resolution to make. I want to get closer to God, close to the relationship with the Quran, and make a real relationship with the Quran to understand and appreciate Allah for who he is.
I'm loving this. And all, say to our radio listening audience, you have an opportunity to ask a question or make a comment to any of these questions I'm asking. And in all, you can address our panelists with a question or comment. All you have to do is press 1. For those listening by way of the internet, you do have to call into the studio. Once again, the studio number is 714-816-4673. So now we go to our very learned imam, Imam Mikhail Sayer. You know, in terms of what it is that Imam Muhammad has given us, the tafsir in terms of Al-Fatiha, and we know what Allah has said in Al-Fatiha, in Indina Sarato Mustaqim, which makes it not only the most 7 often repeated verses of the Quran, but it makes it a dua, and it's probably the most often repeated dua, and Allah responds and answers that dua. That is the book. What is the book? The Quran. That's what we're talking about. You know, setting ourselves free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran in that it guides, sure, without doubt, for those who are consciously regardful of him. What does that mean to you? And you got 2 to 3 minutes. Respond to that. Imam Mikhail Sahir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, and thank you to all the participants for sharing the knowledge. I really appreciate aiding what I'm hearing and learning tonight. Now, where it says, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim, it's really saying, you know, show us and guide us. You know, don't just tell us where to go, but guide us where we need to go. We're asking Allah to guide us because we need his help. So we often make the dua. We hear probably every Friday where we say, Rabbana, let tizik kudubana be'adiv hadaytana. That word right there, hadaytana, is saying guidance, that you guided us, right? And so it was not just a happenstance guidance. It wasn't that someone else guided us. We did not even guide our own selves. But we had asked Allah, don't let our hearts deviate now since you guided us, right? You mm-hmm. know that the angel Gabriel, Jibril, came to Prophet Muhammad's heart first.
Yes.
Not to his head, not to his waist, came to his head. I mean, came to his heart. And so when it says, oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate, that would be surely keeping in connected with the overall theme of setting ourselves free. We want mm-hmm. to keep that prayer strong in our conscious that, oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate. Because mm-hmm. once the heart deviates, then the whole entire body is in a bad way. And as Prophet Muhammad said, there's a muscle of flesh. If it is whole, the whole body is whole. But if it is tainted, the whole body is tainted. And he pointed to the heart 3 times. So that's I do our, oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate. And that's the Shu had guided us. All right. Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. That's excellent. Yeah, a very excellent point that you're making in terms of thinking. It's in biblical scripture, and I believe it's in the book of Proverbs, where it said, so as a man, or I would like to say a human, wherever you see that in scripture, Imam Muhammad taught us that means human. So get the gender out of the way, so it's just overlooking woman. So as a human man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he,
mm-hmm.
you see. So it's very important to know that we have biologically a heart and how it functions. It's a good opportunity to tune in to the science of your health and you to learn how the physical heart actually functions. But there's an mm-hmm. abstract heart that Imam Muhammad has taught us about, an abstract heart that actually personifies the niyyah, the intention, the motivation, the desire. So to deviate from that original nature and pattern that Allah has established in us, the true desire is to be a servant to Allah. But you can't really serve Allah without knowing what it is that he's commanding you to do in terms of guidance. So to be a true servant, that's the relationship of servant to master, and Allah is the master, you see. So it's important, you understand, the state of the heart. It can't deviate. It shouldn't deviate. Because now, as Imam Muhammad in his tafsir has given to us, it is the heart that feeds the mind. The mind works for the heart. Just as the blood, it goes to the brain and it nourishes the brain. Well, in the abstract heart, it also, you know, goes to the mind. And the mind is what it is that begins to serve what's in the heart. This is why you get that hadith in terms of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of that piece of flesh, but it wasn't talking about just on the surface. You understand that piece of flesh that we have in the body, it has a higher meaning in regards to that, as Imam Muhammad has given to us. So every part of the body has a function. And so the human brain has a function. The heart has a function when we look at it biologically. But also the Imam has given to us what he called one of his master keys. He said everything in creation has its counterpart in man, has its likeness in man, in human, a likeness in human. So to be able to see how that correlates in terms of the functionality, the reality of the heart, the benefit of the heart is very, very important. So you want to keep your heart right, because if you keep your heart right, then the whole of the body is going to be right. So we're at this point in terms of thinking with the Quran to set ourselves free. If we don't think with the Quran, then you have to ask the question, what are we thinking with? So this Quran is liberation for the human being. I want to say to our radio listening audience, if this information that you're getting from my panelists tonight, if this is resonating with you, I'm asking you to press 1 at this time. Press 1. Those that are listening by way of the internet, you do have to dial in to the studio. That's the number, once again, is 714-816-4673. 714-816-4673, and you press 1. Rashid Salam will notify me that you're in the queue. I still got questions, but I want to invite you to ask a question, or you can make a comment. Make a comment. What is these questions I'm asking, what does that mean to you? And we're going to get to what Imam Mikhail Sayer said earlier. Haven't forgot about that. But what does that mean to you? As an individual, set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. You know, as Allah speaks in general, in terms of our creation and our purpose in Surah 51, 56 of the Quran, that he has not created the jinn nor the ins, except for his worship, except for his servitude, except, as Imam Muhammad said, except for working for him. That becomes the purpose collectively for all human beings. But Allah has also said to us that to each is a goal. We're going to get to that from our panelists, what Imam Mikhail Sayer was alluding to, and even a personal conversation. So this is not going to be just talk. It's not going to be just talk. This is something in terms of a central idea and a focus that IWDM Radio will have for the whole of the year. And you'll hear our hosts, you understand, hopefully, they'll be utilizing this, whatever guest they have, whatever topic they have. It's going to be about freedom, freeing the dome, liberating ourselves. You say ourselves, liberating ourselves in marriages, liberating ourselves in family life, liberating ourselves in community life. How is it that we are to set these things for ourselves in terms of liberation? We're going to get to that. So I want to invite you, if you have questions or comments, as I continuously ask questions to these very distinguished people in our community, I'm also asking you that question, and how would you respond? Please share. You can do that by pressing 1 at this time. So, Rashid Salam, any hands in the air? Or I hope they're not getting spellbound here with this thing. But I am so serious about it, and I think we really have to take this serious, because if we know our leader and teacher, Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, he spent much of his life as a teacher not only just bringing us to the Quran, but he taught the Quran. And this is in line with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, the best of you is the one that learns the Quran and then teach it. He didn't say the best of you is the one that recite the Quran. That's good. That's what we do at every Salat, except for the Salat of Salatul Jumu'ah. It don't begin like that. It begins with teaching the Quran. So we want to know why that's the best day of the year, and you start right there. And that's why specific instructions is given in the Quran to leave off traffic in trade when the call is made. Get there. Allah don't give you specific instructions for no other of the far, the obligatory prayers, but he gives specific instructions for Salatul Jumu'ah. And it is a surah in the Quran. You'll find it in Surah 62, Ayat 9. Read it for yourself. We won't talk about that. Now, Rashid Salam, any hands in the air? Rashid, take yourself off of mute. Any hands in the air?
Yes, we have one hand in the air at this point. Two hands, excuse me.
Let's go to the call and see what they have on their mind.
We have three. We got 314-305. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Well, it's from the STL there.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam. Who are you and where are you from?
Okay, this is Sister Donna from St. Louis.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome.
And yes, sir, alhamdulillah is the word, because this program is absolutely beautiful. Absolutely. Wonderful, and I am thoroughly enjoying it, and I will be listening to this again. I will definitely be listening to this again, and what I would like to do at this time, I would just like to share a little bit of physiology and biology with you, and Dr. Jeanette Havala, one of our sisters out of Baltimore, wrote a book on the heart, and one of the things that scientists have found is that in our brain, in the frontal lobe, there are cells that are specifically used for thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Physically and biologically, those cells are also found in our heart muscle.
So the
mother of all this beautiful knowledge that you all are sharing with us is just fabulous, and I have heard it, and I am so looking forward to hearing this show again. And I want to thank you, thank all of your panelists for sharing with us and just doing such a beautiful job on the subject. And I'm going to get out of here. I'm at work, so I'm going to get out of here.
Thank you so much, Sister Donna from the STL. You can hear the excitement in her voice, and we thank her for calling in, letting us know how this is resonating with her. You know, those of us who are Muslim, Mukmin, as a believer, this should be resonating with us. I mean, we're talking about the Quran. We're not talking about a philosopher. We're not talking about anybody in history or time or anything. We're talking about God's communication to his human creation. You know, and this is, if we want to ever remake the world, that's what we better start with. That should be the word that should be operating in us. I want to, anybody else, Rashid, before I continue with the questioning? Anybody else?
No, we have one hand here, but I think it's from a previous call. You know, let's just double check here. It's 317-709. 317-709. Well, you are. Did you have your hand raised again?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's proper to say the two sisters that spoke. I'm gonna deal with the last sister when she said about the heart and the muscle and the cell of the body. That's
mm-hmm.
a content mind, and also a mind that's very studious on maintaining a proper lifestyle, because with that, the body and the heart has to be sufficiently in tune with the natural order of the beginning of the day. That means it has to be pure and it has to be sincere. Because if they're a student and studying, like you said, you'll be able to teach what you know. Same way as you are what you eat. So if you read the Quran, it's like eating the wisdom of God. That's what I'm like.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you so much, my brother. You know, I think the brother makes a very, very valid point. You know, and we want to see the Quran as also food. And we use this in the phrase food for thought. But it is the food for our thought and our thinking. It is the food. And, you know, the is a definite article. If my remembers the English grammar, and I got Quran Shakir on when I premier educator, she can correct me. I could stand to be corrected, but years ago I taught at the University of Islam. I taught grammar, but I'm old now, so my memory might not be as good. But D is a definite article to my recollection, and it is not a food. It is the food. We should never refer to the Quran as a resource. It should be the source. There's a difference between A and the in terms of how it is that we look at it. So, alhamdulillah, thank the brother. Press 1 and go out the queue. I want to go back to the Quran in terms of set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. Throughout the Quran, as you all have read, Allah have said many times repetitively, in that are signs for those who reflect. In that are signs for those who reflect. What does that mean to you when you read that, when you don't overlook that and look over that? You know, as Quran said, and those who are students of the Imam, one of the tools that he used was the concordance. And they have the Arabic, the Quranic Arabia concordance, combination of Quranic Arabia and English. You can get it in the Quranic Arabia. You can get the concordance in the English. And you will benefit from it in terms of even studying the Quran, as Imam Muhammad have taught us as students, and you can track words in the Quran, where they're being used in the Quran, how many times they're being used, and how they're being used in the context of the Quran. So, panelists, in that are signs for those who reflect. What is Allah saying to us when he ends certain ayats? And I want to say this, that Imam Muhammad said ayats are not just verses. He said they are signs, but they're not just signs. They are instructing signs, and we should see them as instructing signs, giving a message, and then Allah closes many times in the Quran, in that are signs for those who reflect. I'm going to start with you, my dear brother Rashid Salam. You got a couple of minutes, and we're going to start with you this time. What does that mean to you? In that are signs for those who reflect. Allah has already given us something. He said, in that are signs for those who reflect. What does that mean to you? 2 minutes.
Okay, so there you go. When I hear that word sign, I always look for some signature of some sort and a guideline and a plan. So I look at that as, you know, representing a blueprint to develop the capacity to think upon a thing and then use that particular blueprint to grow and develop a particular thing. Our presence is a being. By being in this world, is not inconsistent with the character of the Quran. It's just not. So in order to, when you start talking about it's a sign for those who reflect, you have to know that whatever you're trying to develop, what are you trying to accomplish, the Quran has provided you with those tools, that resource, that blueprint.
for you to develop within yourself the capacity to think, to use your intellect and ponder and wonder over what is being said. So that's you know, uncovering that gift, as we say. You know, there, each one of us have a gift that God, you know, the Creator has given us. And so I just reflect on that when I hear that word, Mark, the sign, the signature, the blueprint, the guidelines, the pattern that we need in order to incorporate those traits in our life so we can develop our modification of behavior and things of that nature. So that's what dawns on my mind.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. You're very insightful. Alhamdulillah. Go to you, Quran Shakir, once again, with that same question. As you read the Quran, and most of us read the Quran, hopefully we complete the Quran during the month of Ramadan, we find it to be repetitive in the Quran. Isn't it a sign for those who reflect? What does that mean to you, Quran Shakir? You got 2 minutes, if you would, please.
Yes. The word reflect itself, to me, puts me in the frame of what we've already been thinking about, talking about, and that is to think. And so, but reflecting is like thinking deeply and carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're thinking deeply and carefully, then you're looking at what is it that I can do with this and how can this be of benefit to me? And, you know, you're going deeper with it. So when we talk about a sign, Allah gives us signs all the time if we're in tune and paying attention. So to be connected to Him, then we have to know that that conversation that we have with Allah comes in many forms. So it comes to us for the prayers that we pray, but also in His scripture, we can connect with Him. And He says it's signs in here for us to reflect on. And those signs, He says, and among my signs, and He makes it something simple like just the relationship of a male and a female. That's a sign from Allah. Among His signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth. And, you know, He just gives us these signs for us just to think deeply on and to think carefully about so that we are intentional. And when we go through the earth, we're not blind. We're not just sitting here just doing something without thought. So we have to be those who are thinking deeply, constantly, ongoing. That's what that means to me.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Oh, boy. You know, it's easy being a facilitator. It's not as easy being a panelist and questions coming at you. And I'm descended with the questions. So we're going to go to Imam Mikhail Sahir. When you read that in the Quran, as you know, it's repetitive. And what is Allah saying to us in that of signs for those who reflect? 2 minutes, Brother Imam Mikhail Sahir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And I will have to leave very soon, so I do apologize for that.
That's okay.
To reflect, and I kind of grab while others were speaking, I began to do a little research on it myself. But it's what it suggests to me from reading that for us to slow down and think, don't be too quick, but just take your time and to reflect, to ponder. To not just to look at, but to look into Allah's creation and how things work together and how things complement each other. Beyond our ability to fully understand how, but we fully understand that it happened. So we just think about it. We just say, Alhamdulillah, when we come to that conclusion, like, wow, you know, we think on these things that let us know it's not just a coincidence, it's not a happenstance, that this is Allah's divine decree. And so when we slow down, and just to be very thankful and grateful that not only that it happened, but how it happened and how we didn't know say so. And it happened, or how it happened, but it happened, and we needed every bit of it. We needed every drop of it. And so we just be, and that's what we do when we vicar. You know, we slow down, you know, that we stop. And everything else, and then we vicar, and we reflect on those words that we are saying. So that's the main thing that came to my mind, was to slow down and don't let this wonderful creation pass us by and not get the beauty from that.
Alhamdulillah, so, that's excellent. Brother Imam, before you leave, I want to get to this, and then I also know that I got to give the same question to Instructor Abdul Shaheed, but I do want to get your insight on this, because you alluded to it in your opening comment in terms of this just not being just talk, but the application of this, that is the objectivity in terms of actually having a theme, a central idea and a focus for us individually, but also collectively. And this is going to be the next question that's going to go to the panelists. And so to get you before you have to sign off, and want to thank you because I know that you might not be able to stay with us to the end. We still have a little time left before we close out this MGM roundtable on this theme. I do want to get your reflections and comments on Set Yourself Free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. And I would like to know from an individual perspective, and I also would like to know from a community perspective, in terms of actually doing that. And also, you have production too, just like everybody that's on here is a host and a producer in all. And you have guests coming on too. So how do you see that in terms of individually, but also collectively, as in terms of setting ourselves free individually? It could be very diversified, as you well know, but also in terms of our thinking collectively as a community. So, Brother Imam, if you would respond to that, your commentary in regards to that. And there should be a time, and it's only if we really, really say it's a theme and we really promote it, that on these productions here, and hopefully productions, sister station and all, they actually continue to include that somewhere in their productions and everything, whereas then we can begin to really, like you say, slow down and begin to start thinking about our individual life and our collective life in terms of community life by using the Quran, how that benefit to us. Your insight, if you would. Amen.
Yes, thank you. We have goals in common, and we're told very often, to come together on common terms, and that's for people even of different religions as well. But once we find the common essence of the human being, regardless of race, gender, religion, that there are certain common goals that we have as people. We have to recognize that we have to be able to identify those things we have in common, so that we can set, goals. We can even set moral standards. We can set what is decent, what is not decent. And I know even, I don't know if you hear about it nowadays, but when we came along, your own brother and sister and your family will stop you from going outside dressed a certain kind of way. They said, no, you ain't in this house dressed like that. You're a Smith, you're a Jones, or whatever, That's how it was back then. So the same way now, if we're going to set ourselves free, there have to be standards. There have to be standards. So, and then once those standards are recognized, then we also have to respect the individuality of each person. And that allows us to each of you as a go to what BT has turned to. So we have to recognize the right for individuality, individual expressions in life as well. But it has to fit within the community standards because we know, and I said this and I ended, the community life is always bigger than the individual life. It's always bigger than the individual life. But the community life has to respect the individual life that it also has for full expression in accord with the Word of God. Because we don't know what's going to come out from a certain person. And that's how we have advances in science and medicine and all different fields, even in government and politics, because of the individual can have their way to make their individual expression. But then the individual will make an expression for the good of the whole, for the collective, not for the individual selves. And so then it becomes... It's like the piston, one goes up, one goes down, but the one going down has the one going up and vice versa.
Yes.
So the individual life, seeking its freedom, is not for its individual pleasure, it's for the collective pleasure. And the collective pleasure is to make sure that the individual can continue to have their life as well. And there's no contradiction, no conflict between the two. Because
yes,
that's how Allah made for life to be. So.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, thank you so much, Imam Kales.
Yes, thank you.
Here in
thank
terms
you
of sharing that, and you know, I do agree that at some point, you know, at our own discretion as hosts here at IWDM Radio, that we would promote it as a theme for IWDM Radio. It is a theme for us. We've agreed on that. But to incorporate that in our productions, because oftentimes our productions are actually talking about issues, challenges, problems that we as individuals have, as human beings, individually, marital issues, challenges, problems, family issues, problems and challenges, community issues, world issues. You see, so the Quran is the solution, has the solution in that, regardless of what level it is that we're talking about in that regard. And so I'm hoping that we as hosts can be challenging to our radio listening audience in terms of our respective messages, Islamic centers. I'm asking those who are listening, take it to your community. You know, give a khutbah on it. If your resident imam can, or make a request to your resident imam, you know,
yes, sir,
to speak on that. Or you can have talims where that can be a topic, where it's just teaching and learning, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
You can have that as a dialogue, and you can do it on a local basis as well as on a national basis, individual,
yes,
and all, and then come back and say what it is that we have accomplished in setting ourselves free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran, and we can say, this is what I extrapolated from the Quran to set myself,
yes,
free from this. Set myself free from that. Maybe it's noise that you have. Shaitan is really, really talking to you. And maybe you're responding more to the whisper of the shaitan. Maybe you want to set yourself free from that. But you're going to need God's word to help and assist you in helping yourself divorce yourself from that noise. Sometimes we just think, when we get ready to read the Quran, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And we should say it. Why? Because Allah said we should say it. But there's times, you understand, when this, as they say in the Christian, our brothers in the Christian faith, the devil is busy. And sometimes he's busy because we have an idle mind. And we're mm-hmm. not thinking, we're not reflecting on Allah. So this is a good good door to come in. So mm-hmm. there's so much more to be said, but I want to thank you, Imam Mikhail Sayer.
I just wanted to say, I also want to keep in mind our brother, I'm going to make it to this later on, Brother Khaled. So we'll keep him and his family in our prayers. He passed away some time ago, but he's the one that started this station.
This platform,
IWDM,
yeah.
So I'm sure you get into that later on. So.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I'm going to be looking to have you on because you know best the history of IWDM radio and when it got started and our brother Colic. And so want to pay tribute to him because it's always those who are founders that establish a platform. And when mm-hmm. we transition, we want to remember them. And we do ask that Allah do bless his soul, forgive him his faults, his sins, errors, and shortcomings in this life. And if it's Allah's will and by his permission, admit him to the paradise. And to that we say, I mean. So thank you so much. Imam Mikhail Sayer and everything, and looking forward to having you back again in regards to that. And I'm quite sure you'll be saying that to your radio listening audience. This is our team. And then, you know, what it is that you will have maybe say in the future of 2023 of seeing what the radio listening audience have actually done in 2020,
yes,
setting themselves free by thinking with the grant. It should be interesting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, so we're getting close to wrap up time, but we got one more question, and the question I just asked Imam Mikhail Sayer, but I want to give Instructor Abdul Shaheed opportunity to respond to the last question in that assigned for those who reflect. Instructor Abdul Shaheed, you got 2 minutes on that, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much. But I won't take the 2 minutes for the sake of time. When we look at the word reflect in science referred to the light wave bouncing off an object or an image.
Mm-hmm.
That will retain in the person's memory.
Mm-hmm.
So when Allah is asking us to reflect, we're reflecting on something that has already happened in our life.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking inward. We're looking inside of us so we can mm-hmm. best come up with a better decision-making process so we can decide on something better. Now that we have new knowledge, now that we have new information, that's what Allah wants us to be able to do, reflect on our life, what has happened over time. And he's given us new knowledge, new information, positive knowledge, positive information to make better decisions, to change our behavior. You know, there's also negative knowledge,
mm-hmm.
negative information, and much of the world today is stuck on it.
Yes.
That's why we see the negative behaviors. So Allah is asking us to reflect on his signs.
Mm-hmm.
In the signs, we should be reflecting on our own life, what we've already lived, the experience we've already had, to be able to make better decisions. So it would change, modify our behavior, modify our attitude, all of these things, every aspect of our life. But we have to be able to reflect on what we've already done.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Excellent commentary on in that of science for those who reflect. I'm going to stay right here with you, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, next to the last question that we have you know, the question that I asked to Imam Mikhail Sayer before he departed, we want to look at it individually, but we also want to look at it collectively. Set yourself free in 2023 by reflecting on the Quran. How do you see that from an individual perspective, and how do you see that from a collective perspective in terms of what it is that we should be trying to set ourselves free of individually? I know it's diversified, but what do you think is the most important thing? I guess the question would be looking at it individually, but also looking at it collectively. And I know that's a big question.
It's a huge question.
So, I mean, you've been giving some huge answers tonight, too, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. I'm buttering both sides of the bread up here, and I know you don't eat butter.
No, I bought butter.
But how do you see it? I mean, seriously, how do you see it? Because Imam Mikhail Sayer alluded to that early on, and I think it's where the rubber meets the road. The practicality actually, really, in a synopsis of it in terms of really living the Quran. How do you see that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We have all of this information, all of the frame of reference, all of the signs that the Almighty put in the Quran and in the outer universe as well. Signs are everywhere. They're also inside of us. They're everywhere, the signs. But the thing is, Brother Imam, we have to take these signs, and we have to take the information, the knowledge, and we must apply them. They must be applied. We just can't keep learning and keep learning and keep learning, and there's no application of things. I think this is the problem with people. This is the problem with individuals, problem with the community. We have education institutions, but these education institutions not teaching people how to take the information off the pages and bring it to reality, how to take the traits that our students, our young people have inside of them that they've been blessed with, to bring those things out, to take ideas and make them into reality. The human being should be able to pull from within himself, because the Almighty has put everything inside of us. Everything is already inside of us. We come here with those things inside of us. Now it's up to education to bring those things out so we can see them, manifest them. But if we can't apply what we learn, no one is really teaching us how to apply the sciences so we can make life better on this planet. That's why we were all sent here. To make the life better for humans on this planet. How we are faring with the test that we've been given. And I think it's all come down to applying the knowledge that we get. Learning how to apply ideas, concepts, the creativity that we've been gifted with, and bring those things into reality. The human being has the ability, Brother Imam, to pull things out of his mind and make them real.
Yes.
And I think that's why we're here.
Alhamdulillah.
So we have to take the, that's why we have to free ourselves, because there's so many distractions.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. Alhamdulillah, that's excellent, brother. Thank you so much. For that excellent comment.
Thank you for having us, brother.
Yes, sir. I want to go to Rashid Salam to get your commentary and reflection on this, where the rubber meets the road in terms of being a practitioner, if you will. Individual life, community life. How do you see that? What do you see? It is... could be amongst many things, such diversity in terms of setting yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. How you see it individually, how you see it collectively. Rashid, Salam, you got three minutes.
I'm gonna read something from the Quran, you know, and then try to get my closing marks, you know.
Okay.
This be letter under Rahim. Allah says, would you ask others to be righteous and forget to practice it yourself? Even though you read the holy book, have no sense. And secondly, I want to just say, O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you. Fulfill your covenant with me, and I will fulfill my covenant with you, and fear none but me. So there's the individual piece of me, you know, making sure that I take this key to the universe and open the door. The whole operation and the codes that's given to us in this book is a guide for the God conscious. And in order for us to have the capacity to develop the attributes, this language in this Quran is what God is doing to us. He is speaking to us to be human. In doing so, once you set that example as yourself, then you save your family. Once you save your family and your community, then try to seek and save your community. And basically, that's the tools that I'm getting. This is what I understand. This is what is, you know, it's circulating through my heart, you know, to know that this book is the key to the universal order of things. It's the code of life. God is a guide for those who are God conscious.
Alaykum as-salam alhamdulillah. You just gave your closing remarks there, so I won't have to come back to you for your closing remarks. So now we go to a very learned sister, Quran Shakir. Same question for you, Quran, in terms of looking at save yourself. I mean, not save yourself. Set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. Share with us on an individual basis, but also share with us on a collective basis. 2 to 3 minutes for you, Quran, if you would, please.
Alhamdulillah, you know, when we think about who we are and what we have to offer, we look at ourselves and our communities and see where will I be in 50 years, in 100 years, in 500 years? What will my community be in that span of time? Looking at what we're doing right now, are we setting ourselves up to have longevity and sustainability in our community? So we need to have freedom from the fear that we will be extinct as a people. And that comes with making sure that we are passing this very inheritable thing on to our young. And so the freedom then that we want to be set free from are these communities that are dying because we are not inviting our children to be a part of it, making it inviting to them. And freedom from anxiety, freedom from animosity, freedom from disunity, freedom from depression, hurt, and pain. This is what we need the freedom from. And to do that, I just want to remind us there are some little bitty things we can do to have a time where we come together and we share in the reading of the Quran. And share in finding what did you find so good about that and what made you excited here, just making it beautiful, that kind of thing. As an individual, reading an ayat a day, just one ayat a day. You can do more, but do one a day and then reflect on it throughout the day. To read and make connections. So as an English teacher, I teach my students to do TT, TS, and TW. TT is text to text. When you're reading, what connections can you make with this book with other texts? What connections can you make with this book and yourself? What connections can you make with this book and the world? So this is the practical application that makes it a natural part of our lives so that we are instilling it in our young, in ourselves, and we can see that good future that Imam Muhammad said. He wants to see his future in us. And so we have to be able to find those stories, tell those stories from the Quran and make it so real and so beautiful and so wonderful that how could we not love it? How could our children not love it? So that's the freedom we're seeking, that freedom to be able to live and practice the Quran in a real time for hundreds of years to come.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. I just got chills all over me. I'm serious. I'm very, very serious. It just, you know, the truth just really resonates with you and all. Ashish Salam, you've already given your closing remarks, but I want to give each one of you 1 minute, and I'm going to start with you, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, 1 minute for your closing remarks, and then, Quran, you're going to have, you had the first word in this dialogue, and you're going to have the last word. So, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, 1 minute, what would you like to leave with the radio listening audience, the takeaway? What would you like to leave with them? 1 minute, Instructor Abdul Shaheed.
I don't need 1 minute. What I like to leave is, what I simply like to leave, that the Almighty has gifted us with everything that we need. We don't have to keep looking outside of ourselves for the answer and for the solution. We must turn inward and reflect on what he's already given us and make use of it. Thank you.
Allahu Akbar.
We certainly have appreciated being a part of this panel.
Yes,
and
sir.
And we look forward to more in the future. Thank you.
And we will be revisiting this throughout the course of the year 2023. So you have an open invitation to come back with us. Quran Shakir, you got 1 minute. What you want to leave with the radio listeners as we wind down here? Quran?
Well, first, I thank you, and I thank all of our panelists. I feel so honored to be on a platform with all of you. I'm like, I'm the one with the chills, like, oh, my, how do I get to be here? And then I want to say to our listening audience, please take this statement that we're saying here and go post it right now so that everybody, it can become viral, just that. And
thank
imagine
you.
The power in that. If we do that, that's some power. And then I challenge you, when you go amongst people, use the statement at least once in the course of the day, and let's see what happens. So those are my final words.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, boy, I just, you know, I am so pleased in my soul and my spirit tonight and everything for all of you. I mean, all of you have been outstanding panelists. I mean, you gave so much insight to this theme. Set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. I mean, outstanding information. And as Sister Donna said, I agree with her wholeheartedly. You need to go back and listen to this and count on the engineer, Rashid Salam, to make sure that any of you want to get this again and you want to reflect over this outstanding information and education in terms of this thing. And what Quran Shakir summed it up, you know, feel an obligation, a responsibility to take this to your local masajids, your Islamic centers. Have conversation on this. Go to your imam. Take this theme to your imam. Request a khutbah centering on this. Request talims on this. Have seminars on this. Have group settings, you know, a halakha session on this theme, and do all of this you can do, you know, if in fact, even in your daily conversation with other believers that may not have heard this. So it becomes a responsibility. Whose job is it? It's everybody's job. But because everybody thought that somebody would do it, which probably anybody could have done it, nobody wound up doing it. So we can't use nobody, because if nobody does it, then nothing happens. Anybody is a little better choice, but it's not the choice we want. Anybody does it, we get anything. And the two bodies that are left is everybody and somebody. And everybody is somebody. And if we see ourselves as somebody, we can do something. And by doing something, then everything gets done and everybody would have had a hand in actually doing this. So those of us, you understand, are Muslim, and we are mu'min, we are believer in this way of life. We know that the solution for all the issues, all the challenges, all the tests, all the problems of what we see that's happening in our individual life and community life, it is setting ourselves free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. And this is what it is that we should be promoting. I want to thank all of you tonight for being my guest here. And you know you have an open invitation, so we're going to revisit this. We won't let it die. I know on this production and all the productions here on IWDM Radio, you will hear that. You will be hearing that throughout the rest of this year. I want to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow will be the Sister Learning Lab, which will be the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, and Mark Shaheed. And we will be on correct communications for establishing a healthy, harmonious relationship. In 3 weeks, we've been on this mini-series in regards to that. So tomorrow, Quran and I will do some role-playing. Yes, it will be some role-playing. She'll be doing some role-playing. I'll be doing some role-playing on what incorrect communication is, and we're going to be asking our radio listening audience to tune in. Please study your notes. Bring your notes. It's an open book test. And so you're going to be telling Quran and myself, what is it that we're doing wrong in our communication? And then we're going to do it the correct way, is we're going to script this, and we'll give you the necessary information that you need to know in the script playing, a role playing, and you're going to tell us what is it that we did right. So this should be very interesting. It's going to be fun, but it's designed for information education in terms of having correct communication, because that's the heart and soul of the relationship. That begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And a special after that, Rashid Salam will be sliding into the engineer seat, and we will have part two on the outstanding, the world's greatest scientist, Dr. George Washington Carver. And Rashid Salam will be my special guest, as he's the walking encyclopedia when it comes to Dr. George Washington Carver, and let you know what happened in 1945, January the 5th, which will be tomorrow, in terms of that being declared as a national holiday from one of our own, Dr. George Washington Carver. So you don't want to miss that. That will begin at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Pacific Coast Time tomorrow here on IDM Radio. And on Friday, those immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with email Mikhail Sahir. It starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Salatu Juma. Longest running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. That's each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the beginning of the week with the very distinguished and esteemed host, Rashid Salam, and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Please bring your notebook and your pen. A lot of great information. It begins each and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we begin as tonight, which is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished and esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that begins each and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we do invite you to tune in for that. And then following that, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, it's the MGM Roundtable. You just heard it live here, as I always invite every distinguished and esteemed members of the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also I have in 2023 some people, it's going to be a surprise to you that's going to be coming to the MGM Roundtable, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. We do ask that you tune in. I want to thank our radio listening audience for being such a good audience and sticking and staying and not straying away with us throughout this special productions tonight. I want to thank my good brother and friend, Rashid Salam, has always been an outstanding engineer. Without him, I couldn't have been on tonight. And last but not least, we want to thank our special panelists tonight for doing an outstanding job on this theme for IWDM Radio. And a special thanks goes to Karan Shakir. Got to say, the sister's on top of it. She put out flyers and everything. And want to say that so many compliments have been given in regards to that information. But we want you to do something with the information. Just don't get it. Don't keep it to yourself. You got to give it up and turn it loose, just like Mother Goose. You got to do that. So with that being said, this salam is for you and yours. And for this new year, let's set ourselves free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. So until next time, may God's peace be with you. As-salamu alaykum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.